produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to My Father's Teaching. My name is Terrence Burton. We're going to pray and then we're going to dive into the Word so that we can see what the Father has to say to us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, glory. We celebrate you. We thank you for your truth, and your Word is truth. We thank you for life. We thank you for peace and joy. Father, we thank you for the unveiling of your Word. Father, open the eyes of our understanding and cause us to see from your divine perspective. Father, I yield myself to your Spirit so that you can teach your people through my lips of clay. Father, be glorified in what I think. Be glorified in what I say. Be glorified in what I share with your people today. All in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and thank God. We have been talking over the past few weeks about the power of prayer. There's quite a bit of information that I want to go through today. This could carry on into a fourth week where we're talking about, in particular, the power of prayer. And if we need to do that in order to really communicate everything that needs to be taught in this lesson, then we'll just do that. But we're going to go ahead and get into this and see what the Father has to say to us. We're going to start in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Just as a side road, I think I mentioned to you prior that it's probably not a good idea to confess your faults to people who don't want to pray or who don't believe in prayer. And because I believe those two things were coupled together for a reason, that you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So if you won't pray for me, then I don't need to be confessing to you. But anyway, that could just be me. But then it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that was the main thrust of our previous lesson, that the prayer of a righteous person is not only powerful, but it's also effective, meaning that it's not simply something that is strong, but it also works. That's what effective means, that it works. And then in verses 17 and 18, it says Elijah was a human being. So it's given us an example of powerful and effective praying. Elijah was a human being as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. So it's simply telling us how that Elijah is. So it's giving us an example of a righteous person's prayer being both powerful and effective. And he's using, for example, Elijah, and he's letting you know that Elijah was a human being just like you are. He's not any different. He's not special. He's a human just like you are. He's not an angel that came down from heaven. He was just like you. And he says, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. So he's talking about how he prayed earnestly. This righteous man prayed earnestly and it would not rain, and it didn't. And then it reminds you that he prayed again earnestly, is implied, and with faith is implied. And the heavens did give rain and the earth produces crops. So it's talking about in particular how things in this atmosphere were shifted by this man who was righteous, using his faith and praying. So now, just to kind of give you a little recap of some of the things that we talked about, some of the points rather that we talked about last time. If you are righteous, then you can change your situation through prayer by using your faith. And that's what we see encapsulated in James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The second point that we talked about was because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, the condition does not need to already be as you prefer. Let me say that again. Because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, the condition does not need to already be as you prefer. And we use Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 to talk about that. And we're going to go back there in a moment, but I do want to go ahead and move on to point number 3, which is prayer is a tool that God has given you to effect change. Let me say that again. Prayer is a tool that God has given you and I in order to effect or cause change. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And it says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. But for the time of figs was not yet. So what's happening is, here is Jesus walking with his disciples, and he's hungry. They just left Bethany. He's hungry. He wants something to eat. So he sees a fig tree that has leaves. Now, what Jesus was looking at was because this fig tree had leaves, then he had an expectation that it would have fruit. The fruit would be beneath the leaves, so you have to dig through the leaves to get to the fruit. So when Jesus came to the tree, he saw it at a distance. So when he came to it looking for the figs, he didn't find any figs. All he saw were the leaves. So then in verse 14, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto it, said unto what? He said to this fruitless tree. He said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And then it says, and his disciples heard it. And later we're going to see where they described that as a curse. But anyway, Jesus spoke to the tree and said, no man will eat from you ever again. All right. Now, we're going to jump to verse 20. And it says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So Peter notices that tree the following day, because they passed back the same route. And Peter said, wait a minute. Jesus spoke to that tree yesterday and said, no man eat from you ever again. And now here it is the following day, and it's withered. So then in verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, the phrase or the term have faith in God literally means have the God kind of faith. Well, what does Jesus mean by have the God kind of faith? All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we're going to see what the God kind of faith looks like. And it reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. So at this point in time, there is no light. So look at the situation that the father is in. The father is wanting light, but light is not there. Remember, Jesus was wanting figs, but figs were not there. So in both situations, they both use their faith to change the current condition into a different condition. So when we say use our faith, what do we mean? We're talking about where you speak those things that be not as they were, with the full expectation that your words will cause whatever the current condition is to change to match what you said. Do I need to say that again? Speaking by faith means that you decree a thing. It's not going to be an exact quote from what I just said a moment ago, but it's the same premise. You decree a thing with the full expectation that your words, your faith-filled words, will cause the current condition to change. So that's why one of the initial points that we talked about was that prayer is a tool that God has given you to effect change. So you don't need the situation to already be as you will. Going back to point number two, the condition does not need to already be as you prefer. Why? Because if you can use your faith, and this is what we need to understand so that we don't become frightened or get too upset if something is not as we prefer. Because when you understand that you have an instrument that you can use to change the condition, then the condition is really irrelevant. Because I've got my tool. See, if you don't understand that you've got a tool that can change it, I understand why you're fearful. I understand why you're upset and you're emotionally distraught. If you don't understand that you've got a tool that can shift it, if you don't understand or believe that you've got a tool that can change it, then it makes sense that you're scared. It's logical that you're scared. And so that's why what the Father is wanting us to, you and I, to understand is that when we take a hold of the tool of prayer and use it to effect change, then we're no longer intimidated by present conditions. Because present conditions does not intimidate someone who understands they've got an instrument by which they can change it. And so here in Genesis chapter 1, when God is in the situation where he wants something that is not so, then what he does is he applies his faith-filled words to the situation with the full expectation that he will have what he says. So it says in verse 3, in chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So there was darkness on the scene. God was wanting light. He used faith-filled words to call in what was not presently in manifestation. And so going back to Mark chapter 11, when Jesus is explaining what happened to the tree, what Jesus did in speaking to the tree was the same thing that the Father did in speaking and calling light to come forth out of darkness. He was decreeing a thing with the full expectation that it will be established in his life. The Father said, light be. Jesus said, no man eat from you tree ever again. And they both had the manifestation of what their words decreed. And so when Peter is all excited and everything, and the other disciples, I'm sure they were mesmerized by it too, but Peter was the more vocal of Jesus's disciples. He's all excited and he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, let me say this before I really dive into this passage for us to really get the meat of what Jesus is explaining here. Now, Jesus was not surprised. Peter was. Why? Because Jesus had full expectation that what he said was going to happen. There was not a question in his mind if he would have what he says. And the scripture, the explanation, is going to prove that out. So Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach them about faith in God. So he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, which does not need the current condition to be as you will, because you can use your faith to change it. Yes, I've said that a number of times, and I might say it a ton more times throughout this lesson. And so he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Then in verse 23, he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, now look at this, he says whosoever. Remember we were talking about earlier, Elijah, that people tend to think he's special. And James wanted you and I to understand that Elijah's effectiveness in prayer were not because he was special, because we need to line ourselves up with these whosoevers. So he says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. He said, you can say to this mountain. Now, let me say this, because sometimes we tend to think of these types of conversations as being symbolic, but this is not symbolic, so to speak. Let me tell you why I say that. Because when Jesus spoke to the tree, he was speaking to a tree. It was a real tree. This was not metaphorically a tree. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and said, no man will eat from you ever again. And the tree died. So then, if that be the case, or should I rather say, since that is the case, when Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, then that tells me that he was by a mountain or standing on a mountain. But either way, he said, you can say unto this mountain. So he's talking about a mountain. He said, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But watch this, because a lot of times what has happened is we've caught a part of this verse, but we didn't catch the fullness of it. It's not about simply talking, because we are good at making decrees and declarations, and we say things like, I decree and declare, as if we have to say both at the same time. But anyway, so we're good at making pronouncements, and that's fine. But there's another piece to it that we really have to grasp. So he says, be thou removed. So you tell the mountain to be removed and you be cast into the sea. But watch this. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart. Well, what does he mean by doubting in your heart? Well, doubt actually means that you have two different possibilities. Typically, they tend to be opposites of each other, such as God's going to heal me, and I don't know if I'm going to be healed. That's double-minded. Either you're going to receive your healing or you're not. And so in that person's mind, relative to that, they're kind of in between, where they're uncertain if they're going to be healed, but then they also, and they see it as a very real possibility that they won't receive. So the condition that this promise is based upon is not solely speaking. He also said, and shall not doubt in his heart. In other words, you can't be double-minded. You have to be decisive. Because when Jesus spoke to the tree, he was decisive. When the Father spoke and said, light be, he made a decision. There was no option for light. There was no option for the tree. And so one of the mistakes that we make relative to our believing is that we have options. We might decree a thing, but then in our mind, there's an option. This may happen or it may not. No, he said, you decree it, but he said, he said also, you shall not doubt in your heart. But instead of doubting in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. So in other words, he said that you don't doubt in your heart. You're not double-minded. You don't have these myriad of options of if what you said is going to happen. You've made a decision. I have spoken to this mountain. This mountain will move. Why? Because I believe in my heart and I do not doubt that those words that I have spoken will come to pass. He said, you shall have whatsoever you say. See, with that kind of promise, with that kind of backing, we need to believe God. We need to operate in the God kind of faith where we are confident. We have made a decision that this is how it's going to be. And I'm going to align my faith, my heart, my desire, and my mouth. I'm decreeing a thing and it will be established unto me. Why? Because God said that if I believe in my heart and don't doubt, I can even tell a mountain to move and it will have to obey me. Why? Because I'm using the God kind of faith. I'm using the God kind of faith. That's why. So look at verse 24. So now Jesus in verse 23, he's talking about making a decree, but then he connects it to a different form of a different way of using faith. Rather, he says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray. So now he's talking about prayer. He went from making a decree to prayer. But what he's doing is he's showing you the mechanics are the same. What does he say? Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them. So, oh, I'm sorry, let me go ahead and read. And ye shall have them. So he says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. So the things that are important, components that are important for when you pray, you have to desire the thing and you have to believe that you have it. Those are the components that must be present when you pray. You have to believe it's done and you have to desire it. I know a lot of times we try to add a whole lot of things to it. You got to know all the scriptures and all. No, he didn't say you got to know all the scriptures. He said you have to desire it and you have to believe it. And then he said you will have it. So then in verse 25, what does it say? And when ye stand praying. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what. We're going to wait before we get into verse 25. And the reason we're going to do that is because this particular aspect is so rich that it's going to need its own space. But for now, we're just going to recap what we've talked about, some of what we've talked about today. And then we will pick back up and we're going to get into verse 25 of Mark chapter 11 next time. So just as a recap. So here, Jesus was hungry. He saw a tree, wanted some figs. There were no figs, only leaves. So he commanded and said, no man eat from you ever again. Dried up from its root. The disciples saw it the following day. And Jesus used it as an opportunity to teach them about faith. And what he taught them was, he said, you have to operate in the God kind of faith. Now, let me make this particular note here. The distinction between God kind of faith and man's kind of faith. Man tends to believe things after he has seen them. That's not how Jesus did this. The God kind of faith believes before there is physical evidence. So what trips people up, I know we went on into something else. I'm seeing that we're needing this right here to close it out. So what trips people up is this. They want the evidence to precede manifestation. So what the Father is wanting you and I to do is to make a switch. And the switch is simply this. Change your order. And what I mean by order is the man kind of faith is you get evidence and then you believe. The God kind of faith is that you believe and then it produces the evidence. We're going to close right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We thank you, Father, for causing us to understand your word. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word continues to minister to the hearts and minds of your people. In Jesus' name, you be glorified, Father. Amen and thank God.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.